This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. Well, this week I'd like to talk about something a little bit different. I'd like to talk about spiritual warfare, in particular, the discernment of spirits. You know, we live in the midst of spiritual conflict every day in our lives, and I think many people today feel as though we're living at a time when the spiritual battle is heating up, when it's intensifying. And it's helpful and it's important to be able to have some basic wisdom about how to fight the spiritual battle and the conflict that we're in. So what I'd like to do today and the rest of this week is to look at the wisdom given to us by St. Ignatius, the rules for the discernment of spirits that he gives to us in his spiritual exercises. And I want to use the teaching of the commentaries on that by Father Jules Toner, a wonderful Jesuit priest who wrote a very important book called Commentary on St. Ignatius's Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, and then Father Timothy Gallagher, which I think many of you who are listening to the program today know Father Timothy's work. He wrote a book called The Discernment of Spirits, an Ignatian Guide for Everyday Living. Both those books you can find at Amazon. So Father Jules Toner, you could Google his name, Father Jules Toner, T-O-N-E-R, and you get all the information you need about his books there. Or just go to Amazon and plug in that name. And Father Gallagher's material is easy to find as well on Amazon. But I want to begin today first by reaffirming again the reality of the spiritual battle that we're in. It's evident in the life of Jesus, the intensification of the spiritual battle that all of us are living in. It came to a particular white-hot intensity in the life of Jesus. And remember that very powerful passage in John's Gospel, it's John 14:30, where Jesus is speaking into the intimate circle of his friends, the apostles and the disciples, those he had called. And he said that the devil is coming, but he has no power over me. So here Jesus is speaking as he's beginning to tell the apostles what is ahead of them. He's telling them about Calvary, about the death he's going to need to die for the sins of the world, the blood that he's going to have to shed, and the betrayal he's going to experience, and the suffering, and ultimately his resurrection and victory over the powers of sin and death. And at the root of it is a conflict, is a spiritual battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of the devil. Jesus came to break the hold of the kingdom of the devil on our lives. The whole world, John, the beloved apostle, says in his first letter, the whole world is in the power of the devil. And that Jesus came specifically, John, I think it's chapter 3, verse 8, somewhere in there, where the apostle John goes on to say that Jesus came specifically to make war on the devil, to destroy the devil's power. So right at the heart of the Christian view and understanding of the ground of reality is the spiritual reality that we all live in the midst of. We live in the midst of this conflict. Jesus came to break the power of the devil's hold over the human race. We were subject to the powers of sin and death. In rebelling against God, we bring ourselves under, we sold ourselves under slavery to the devil. Jesus came to break that power, to lead us from slavery to freedom, from death to life. The devil's plan for our lives is to die in our sins. Jesus' plan is to save us from our sin and to bring us to everlasting life, to make us children of God. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he describes the spiritual battle that we're in, chapter 6, verse 10 and following. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we're not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, even the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul couldn't make it more clear. We're contending. We're born into a battle. We can't escape it. It's not just an imaginary thing that some people live in, this kind of religious fantasy. This is the ground of reality. Paul says we're contending against spiritual forces, not simply against flesh and blood. Our fundamental enemy is not my neighbor or somebody who disagrees with me about what I believe or about what my political beliefs might be or somebody who upsets me. That's not my enemy. My enemy is the devil, is the one who sows total discord, the one who sows rebellion, violence, and hostility. So Paul makes it clear, for we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this present age. Isn't it interesting? The world rulers of this present age. Who rules this world? The devil. And all those ultimately who cooperate with him. The kingdom of God, Jesus came to plant the flag of the kingdom of God in the hearts of all who would receive his gospel. He's bringing the rule and reign of God the Father to the world, and it begins in the church. The church is a sign of the future kingdom, and the church is a sacrament. It's a mystery. It signifies, it points to, and it brings about the reality that it points to. What is that? The future of life in the kingdom of God, living under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ and Jesus as Lord. That's where human history is going. But there's still battles going on here that we have to fight, and we have to fight every day against the spiritual forces. St. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, describes the battle this way. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you." So Peter, like Paul and like all the other apostles, having witnessed the spiritual conflict Jesus lived through and received the teaching of Jesus about the battle and about the reality of the devil and the devil's strategies, the apostles taught about it with some regularity, about how to resist and how to fight, how to do battle. And here, Peter's words, especially verse 8, be sober and be watchful. I mean, literally, don't get drunk. Keep your mind. Keep your mind clear. Stay awake. Be alert. Don't fall asleep. Don't do something like getting drunk. Often what happens when we get drunk, we lose our inhibitions and we easily fall into more serious sin and temptation as a result of losing our clarity of mind and strength of will and the freedom that the Lord has given us to be self-controlled. So be sober and be watchful. That's a phrase Jesus used quite often, be watchful. It characterizes the disciple. A disciple lives with an alert mind. Disciples awake and watchful. Because we know what? We know that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So Peter said, be awake, be watchful. This is going to happen. It goes back to what Jesus said, as I mentioned earlier in the show, in John's gospel. He said, the devil is coming now. Essentially, Jesus was telling the apostles, the devil's coming after me now, he said. But he said, the devil has no hold on me. And then he went on to say this beautiful line, I do the will of my Father. I obey my Father's commands because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. This is Jesus' fundamental passion and desire to reveal to the world the truth about the Father, and to die a loyal, faithful son, expressing to the world for all eternity his love for the Father. The devil's coming to prevent Jesus from making that revelation, the revelation about God. The devil wants us to suppress the truth about God, to ignore God, to try to create a world and a reality apart from God, which puts us absolutely under his domination and slavery, slavery to a darkened mind, to disordered passions. We're subject to futility, and as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8. So Jesus lets the apostles know, the devil's real, the devil's set against us. And in that case, at that moment, Jesus said, he's coming after me. But don't worry, he has no hold on me. Keep your eye on the ball. Your eye should be where my eye is. And what's that? That your passion would be the same passion as Jesus himself. I want to obey the Lord. I want to obey the Father. I want to welcome his commands, whatever they are, because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. So here's the heart of the spiritual battle. Jesus came to reveal the Father and to reveal the kingdom. The devil wants to prevent that from happening. And the same thing happens in our lives. We are born into a new relationship with God the Father in Christ Jesus. We put on Jesus, and the devil has no hold on us either, unless we do something that allows him to take hold of us. And even for brothers and sisters, even for Christians who are living very devout lives and not committing any mortal sins and are living in the light, the devil has a strategy against you. And he's trying to come after you. And so one of the things I want to begin to talk about tomorrow as we look at the rules of discernment of spirits and the teaching of Saint Ignatius is he shows us how the devil attacks people who are living virtuously, who are pursuing God, whose hearts are set on the kingdom of God. And then he also talks about how the devil encourages people who are moving away from God. That's sort of the essence of what the teaching on the discernments of spirits is all about. The teaching that Ignatius gives us is revolutionary if we take it into our lives and we apply it to our lives. And he discovered it himself the Lord revealed it to him when he was convalescing after having been hit by a cannonball and having his leg destroyed. It's kind of a big story. It's amazing what happened to him. But one day, essentially, God opened his eyes a little bit and helped him see something. He loved heroism, the idea of being a great war hero. And he used to read all kinds of books like that that would inspire him. And he'd think about them for hours. But he also read books. A friend brought a set of books to him about the Lord, about the saints, and he'd read those books. And at a certain point, he realized that though he liked both sets of books and the books about being a hero in the world, he noticed that the worldly books, as he reflected on the reading, at a certain point, they wouldn't last. The kind of the joy that he experienced and the excitement and enthusiasm would just go away. It would kind of be deadened in him, and he'd be left dry and empty. But as he read the other books, the books of the saints, he realized there was a kind of lingering joy, and he was buoyed by the story and the thought of living like a saint. And it lifted him, and he realized that there were different spirits working on him, different forces working on him that were impacting his emotions as a result, and it became the basis for him of discerning what's the voice of the Lord and what's the voice of the kingdom of the enemy. What's the voice of the enemy? And what strategies does the enemy use against me, and what strategies does the Lord use to help me follow him and to live more fully for him in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God? So that's what I want to look at tomorrow and the rest of the week. We'll look, there's 14 rules. I'm going to kind of take them apart one by one, and hopefully it'll be a help to you as you seek to follow the Lord, to do his will, and live fully your life as a son and daughter of God. So I want to mention, reminder, if you're interested about July 13th, the young adult event we're hosting here at the Inn at St. John's in Plymouth, Michigan, called Disciples in the Marketplace, go to our website at id916.com. Sign up and join us. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.